Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to half year and year ended March 31, 2022 earnings conference call of EKI Energy Services Limited, organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need operator assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Manish Dhabkara, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm happy to welcome you all today to our H2 and the full year for financial year 2021-2022 earnings conference call. Before we begin, on behalf of all of us at EKI Energy Services Limited, I truly wish that you and your family has been staying safe. Please take good care of yourself, especially for the worsening heat waves across the country. We are here with you today to share details of our commendable performance for the H2 as well as full year of financial year 2021-2022. It is my pleasure to be briefing you all on this today. Joining me today is Chief Financial Officer at EKI Energy Services Limited, Mr. Mohit Agrawal, and our Investor Relations Partner, Mr. Jinal from Orient Capital. Details of our financial results and investor presentation is now live at BSE as well as our website. I will share with you key highlights of our performance of the H2 and year ending March 31, 2022. We are happy to report another set of robust result for H2 and full year for financial year 2021-2022. We have created history yet again in the international carbon markets industry to decarbonize atmosphere with our stellar performance. In 2022, we witnessed strong business momentum driven by higher demand and increasing carbon credit prices, which resulted in year-to-year stellar growth in revenue by 844%, EBITDA by 197%, and PAT by 1,951%. Our EBITDA margin have more than doubled for financial year 2022, now when compared to financial year 2021, due to the following reasons, which is the first one is higher demand in carbon market on account of voluntary pledges by corporates, commitment of governments across the globe for reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, industry-specific mandates like COSIA, which comes from international aviation industry, and awareness programs that had been conducted at various nations and for the local laws and regulations. The second reason is geographical expansion done in last 18 months started generation of business from the countries like Turkey, Brazil, Kenya, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, and other. The third reason is price hike of carbon credits on account of high demand and limited supply. Quarter four performance was phenomenal due to the reason because the buyer community which are located at the developed nations, they are the last quarter, that is, starting from October to December is the last quarter for them for their financial year. Now which is a common industry trend that the number of credit requirement to buy to meet the carbon neutrality and net zero emission goals, they used to be higher, while the quarter one, as per our Indian financial system, used to be the weakest one. I'm pleased to announce that our board of directors have approved the issuance of bonus shares in the ratio of 3 is to 1. These shares on bonus for every one share held. The board has also approved the migration of the company from SME segment to the main board on BSE, subject to approval from concerned authorities. With an objective to create value for our company shareholder, we have declared and paid interim dividend of rupees 20 per share for financial year 2021-2022. Few deals of quarter four had got delayed due to the impact of Russia-Ukraine war at European Union nations, since they are the major buyer of voluntary credits as compared to other developed nations. Now the market is coming again back on track. Stellar performance is the result of Team ETI, who strive every day to ensure the best for the planet and for our customers and shareholders. With a deep passion for climate, we have driven targeted efforts for climate actions in year gone by, and now geared up to accelerate climate action to full throttle and step up strategic efforts manifold. With a renewed vision for strong focus on climate action, we have embraced a new brand identity that brings together the sky, nature and ocean to steer the planet to a net zero future. Our new logo has a leaf at its heart and forms a globe to symbolize our efforts to restore nature and rehabilitate the planet. The zero made by the globe together symbolizes zero for our stride to net zero. We are committed to become a net zero company by year 2030 and will also aim to significantly contribute to effort to cap global temperature to mobilize up to 1 billion carbon credits in the next 5 years, that is by year 2027. In line with our vision to uplift the community, we have enhanced our green cooking initiative manifold. We have ordered book of around 200 crores from global energy giants for implementation of improved cook stoves in rural and tribal communities of India. From order in hand, we are expecting to generate around 14 million plus carbon credits in the next 5 years, resulting in win-win situation both for the community and environment at large. This count is expected to grow on multiple basis, future orders. Our subsidiary, GHG Reduction Technologies Private Limited, has also commenced its plant in Nasik to manufacture 1.2 million cook stoves, improved cook stoves every year. And we have further planned to increase this to 3 million improved cook stoves per year in a phased manner with aim to empower more homes and also enlighten the backward integration of the carbon credit supply chain. We have grown as a team to tune to 200 plus employees. And have also moved to a new corporate office. We have also extended ESOP benefits to our employees in recognition of their hard work and commitment to the company. Our team is our backbone and greatest asset. We have a dynamic team of climate experts who are passionate to help restore the planet. We now also have a new sustainability arm that caters to the unique requirement to our customers. We have also renewed the structure of our service offerings in line with market dynamics with unique requirement for urgent climate action. The new business verticals are community-based projects, which includes water filters, LED, biogas projects, apart from improved cook stoves. And the second one is the nature-based solution projects, which includes forests, wetlands, mangroves, and sustainable agricultural practices. Consultancy for this project will be provided by our subsidiary company, Amrut Nature Solutions Private Limited, for which we have partnered with Shell Overseas Investment BV, Netherlands. In next 30 to 40 days, we are going to sign our first project of around 150 crores plus net investment. Net Zero, the third services, Net Zero Services and ESG Services. Company is establishing a methodology under International Carbon Credit Program for green hydrogen projects and other innovative technologies, which as of now they are not able to get the registration because of the absence of the methodologies available to get the project registered. We promise to continue our endeavor to steer the planet to net zero and to aggressively drive our vision to build a greener tomorrow. We are geared up for yet another super year ahead. We will continue to restore the planet while also aligning economic recovery with long-term sustainability to help develop a climate resilient global economy. With this, I now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Mohit Agrawal, who will discuss the financial performance in detail with you all. Over to Mohit.
Hello. Yeah, thank you, Manish ji. for your kind information. I would like to say thanks to all stakeholders for their support, guidance and mentorship to get the start on financial results. For the second half of financial year 2022, we posted revenue of 1163 crore, which is an increase of 83% as compared to first half of financial year 21-22. EBITDA stood at 359 crore, which is an increase of 130% as compared to first half of the financial year 2022. EBITDA margin stood at 30.9% versus 24.6%. And profit after tax for second half stood at 266 crores versus 117 crores in first half of financial year 2022, resulting in growth of 128%. PAT margin for second half of financial year is 22.9% versus 18.4% in first half of financial year 2022. Now coming to the full year financial performance of the company, we posted revenue of 1800 crore, which is a 844% increase as compared to the last period, which was at 191 crore figure. EBITDA stood at 516 crore, which is an increase of 1937% compared to same period last year. EBITDA margin has doubled, that is 28.7% as compared with last year 13.3%. Profit after tax for the year stood at 383 crores, resulting in a growth of 1951% as compared to last year. PAT is in the similar line that has been increased to 21.3% versus 9.8% respectively. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. Our first question is from the line of Shubham Jain with HEM Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. First of all, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Sir, I just want to know what is the main reason for this quarter, why our revenue is coming down? I'm talking about especially on the quarter two.
Can you please repeat what are the numbers that you are asking about?
Sir, I just want to know about quarter four, why our company revenue was coming down in this quarter four and compared to quarter three, December.
Yes, so as I already covered during the speech, like the quarter four was the given the phenomenal performance as compared to other quarter one and quarter two. While quarter four, the numbers as compared to the quarter three are obviously used to be low because usually if you see the developed nations who are the major buyer of such kind of voluntary carbon credits, which are the kind of the voluntary carbon credits. Hello, can you listen to me?
Sorry, sir, your voice is not audible.
Yes. So I just repeat the same. The numbers, the top line during the quarter four is less as compared to the quarter three, because quarter three used to be the most strong quarter since the buyers which are located at the developed nations, their financial year ending used to be the quarter four, that means which is the quarter three for as per the Indian financial system. So the demand for the carbon credits to meet the net zero emission targets and to meet carbon neutrality targets used to be high during that particular quarter as compared to other quarters, that means quarter 1, 2 and 4 as per the Indian financial system. So that was the one reason. And another reason is the war, the Russia-Ukraine war, because of which various companies, majorly for our carbon markets, European Union nations, they are the major buyer of such kind of voluntary carbon offsets. And because of the impact of high prices of oil and gas and other issues which for which they were sustaining because of the war, the few deals had got shifted from quarter four to new financial year as per our Indian financial system. So that was a few of the reasons because which and that is quite natural as per our industry. Related to the demand used to be there, the maximum demand used to be there during quarter three, while during quarter one, two and four, it used to be lesser than the same.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Meet Sangoy with PL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, if you can just break up the revenue for me in terms of the number of carbon credits sold, the volume of carbon credits along with the carbon credit prices, that'll be very helpful. That is number one. And also if you can give any guidance that you would have for financial year 23 for the volume of carbon credits.
Yes. So during last financial year, the volume that we have supplied is around 55 million credits. Up to quarter three, it was around 70 million, and during quarter four, it was around 17 million. So around during last financial year, so 55 million was during 2020-2021, and during 21-22, it was around 87 million. So that is around 60% growth was there in terms of the volume. During next financial year, we are expecting that 20% growth we should be able to achieve as compared to 87 million achievement during last financial year. And since the pipeline of the project that we are executing is very strong, so we are anticipating that it should exceed 20% growth as compared to last financial year.
Right. So if we assume a 20% growth, so for financial year 23, we are expecting close to around 110-120 million credits. Is that
yes.
correct? Got it. And
yes.
So if I just break this down, you know, I think Q3, you had mentioned that you had sold close to 20-25 million credits. So in terms of volume, that has come off by maybe around 30-odd percent. So the pricing more or less has remained the same for carbon credits. Is that assumption correct?
Yeah, so the prices used to vary based on the vintage, country of origin, program, technology, and various other factors are there. So we would not be able to comment over the prices because different set of credits originated from different countries, from different technology used to be having different prices. So averaging, calculating through the averaging of the volume as compared to the turnover would not give the correct figure. But yes, we are having strong focus on the numbers, that means on the volume numbers, and the value growth shall automatically will get yielded from the volume growth. Based on the international carbon market prices.
Got that. Thank you. And my last question is on the cooking stuff subsidiary that you have. So if you can just break down the realization of, you know, the 1 lakh units that you are selling, distributing per month, what kind of realizations and margins are we seeing in the cooking stuff subsidiary?
So cooking stove, as of present business model we do have, we used to sign contract with our parent organization, K Energy Services Limited, and the manufacturing on cost plus small margin basis we used to give orders to. the subsidiary company. So most of the value used to get captured within EKI only, since we have to give comprehensive end-to-end services starting from manufacturing to distribution to getting the project registration, then verification, and then supplying the credits or selling the same into the international carbon market. So overall accountability used to be there over EKI only, and the majority of the value creation used to be there into the EKI Energy Services Limited only.
Okay, got it. And the additional capex that will be needed to increase from 1.2 million to 3 million per year guidance for the cooking stuff?
Mohit, can you please tell us?
Hi, Mitch. Good afternoon. As you have asked, and we have already told, as and when our order book will increase, we will increase the capacity of the cook stove manufacturing unit also. And that will come around 5 to 10 crores, which includes capex as well as operating OPEX also. It will range between 5 to 10 crores.
Okay. So that will be for additional 1.8 million units?
Yes, additional for 1.8 million. You are right.
Okay, got it. I'll come back in the question queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Ratilal Mehta with Twin Earth Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations, Manish and Mohit, for the great number. Hello.
Thanks for acquisition, sir.
Yeah. Most of the questions, of course, you have already answered. I just wanted to understand, do you give any guidance for margins for the coming year? Will you be able to maintain the growth in the volume as well as the margins, or you will surpass that?
Yes, thanks for your question. So margin is going to sustain. We do not see any pressure. The 20% growth we are targeting internally in terms of volume, and obviously based on international carbon market prices, our top line will then get it. So the situation is quite attractive during this new financial year also.
Right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nilesh Maurya with AMSEC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers. My first question is with respect to the JV that you have announced. Could you give a little more highlight on what the role between both the parties are? Because in terms of what would be our role in contributing towards that JV?
Yes. So the name of joint venture company that we have formed with Shell Overseas Investment BV Netherlands is Amrut Nature Solutions Private Limited. And EKI is having 51% shareholding, while Shell Overseas Investment BV is having around 49% shareholding. Our main focus of this Amrut Nature Solution Private Limited is to invest into the forest, into the nature-based solution project. Since you know, carbon sequestration technologies are not economically feasible or viable as of now. So for the whole world, nature-based solution is the best option to remove carbon dioxide or greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. So this nature-based solution projects includes forestry projects, installation of new forest, saving the degradation of forest, reforestation activities, and wetlands, installation of mangroves over the seashore, adopting sustainable agricultural practices. So these are the kind of projects which are specifically focused through this Amrut Nature Solutions Private Limited. We will be doing two activities. One is giving advisory services to the other investors, either in India or abroad. So we have we do not have any geographical boundaries for giving advisory services on how to put all such kind of projects. If some other investors are there, which brings their own project along with their funds. We would be able to help them to put all such kind of nature-based solution projects on ground and then apply for the registrations, apply for the verifications to earn carbon credit from such kind of business activities. While this is the one activity related to the advisory services, since you know, there are different kinds of projects that can be developed in our carbon credit industry. One sector is the renewable energy sector, that means technologically driven projects. Another one is renewable energy. Third one is waste management projects, electrical vehicle projects. So these are all the technology-based projects, while the other, and we call them as carbon avoidance-based projects, while the carbon removal-based projects comes from the nature-based solution. The other set of activity that we'll be doing is to identify new projects and new investment opportunities. So that will be the responsibility of AK Energy Services Limited and our JV to identify such kind of projects specifically in India and nearby nations, and then showing the same to Shell team to their internal criteria to approve the project to invest. Shell would be having 93% investment rights, while AK Energy Services Limited would be having 7% investment rights, while the whole implementation of the project, including putting projects on ground, up till registration, verification, and then generation of carbon credit, will be the accountability of joint venture company. So these are the two different activities we would be doing through this JV.
Sure, understood. So Shell's major responsibility is about project financing. So
yes.
Just to follow up on the description that you just gave right now, the getting these new clientele or the new projects, is it EKI's role or is it Shell overseas roles? And where would, I mean, if we look at the clientele that we are trying to look, because the operations of the JV and our operations are very much similar, you know, how do you differentiate that, who brings in the client and which goes under the JV and who finances it? So I'm a little confused on that.
So the second activity that I have mentioned, which is related to identification of the projects for getting the investments. So that is the accountability of EKI. So all three different entities can do such kind of activities. So Shell can also identify the project and can bring it on ground, can bring it to get invested. EKI can also do similar activity, and JV Group would also do similar activity, while the exclusivity, whosoever, either EKI or JV or Shell, whatever business activity that they will do identify under the NBS regime, need to be exclusively executed through joint venture company only. So that is the exclusivity binding contract we do have between Shell and EKI, that each and every activity related to the NBS consultancy and investment and finding the investment grade projects will be executed through JV only.
Okay, understood. And common question towards it, since Shell Overseas Investment sounds like an investment vehicle, the promoters that are part of this company, do they come from carbon trading background, or they are just the financing guys, or, you know, people with the experience of project finance and banking?
So the team with which we are in touch with, they are having, such kind of experience related to the structured finance into the carbon credit industry, specifically related to the NBS nature-based solution projects. So while Shell do various business activities, like overall group do various business activities related to trading of various environmental commodities and other oil and gas commodities. So now that business vertical is quite different from this business vertical with which we used to handle, which we used to work on day-to-day basis.
Okay, understood. And my final question on this is, in terms of carbon credit, you know, we haven't not seen much regulation coming in India. So do you foresee any regulatory changes that might, you know, like the ESG space is just building up? So do you see any regulatory changes that might be coming in, you know, which would kind of give a boost to our business as well as, you know, the whole sustainability space?
Yes. So, as you know, in India, Ministry of Environment, Forest and Climate Change is a nodal agency for dealing with all such kind of issues at the national and international level. So, Bureau of Energy, this MOFCC has given their mandate to Ministry of Power through the specific department that you do have under Ministry of Power is Bureau of Energy Efficiency. So, Bureau of Energy Efficiency had got the mandate to establish a domestic carbon market in India. They are at the nascent stage. They had published few of the white papers, and now they had floated a tender for the policy formation, stakeholder engagement for establishing such kind of domestic emission trading scheme. So initially, for first few years, we foresee that it would be voluntary nature, while it will get converted to the mandatory nature, similar to the other big emitters which they do have, like the European Union Emission Trading Scheme is one of the examples. South Korea Emission Trading Scheme is another example. China is also having their own emission trading scheme. Then South Africa, US, Canada, everyone, that means a few states, that means few countries, such kind of activities are at the mature stage, like the formation of emission trading scheme and operationalizing the same. While at few other nations like us, we are in the nascent stage of formation of such kind of activity. So in future, as of now, from last 2012 to year 2012 to 2022, for example, only the market that do exist for the credits originated from developing nations are the voluntary carbon markets. We call it as VCM or International Voluntary Carbon Markets. So this is the only market we do have, and if you know, the growth that had been anticipated during year 2020, it was around 0.4. The market cap of voluntary carbon market was around $0.4 billion. During last 2021 calendar year 2021, it was around $1 billion. During 2030, it is anticipated through the market research company called as Trove Research. They had done research that by 2030, the market size only for the voluntary carbon markets, international voluntary markets, it could be around $10 to $25 billion. During 2040, it would be $40 to $115 billion, and by 2050, mid of the century, it would be around $90 to $480 billion. So this is the only market cap which may come from international voluntary carbon markets, while, as you know, each nation is planning to have their own domestic market, which initially, during initial years, it may be in voluntary nature, and then it may get converted into the compliance emission trading scheme, similar to the Korea or similar to the European Union. The other carbon markets which are arising through the Paris Agreement, Article 6, is Article 6.2 Cooperative Approaches Carbon Market, and Article 6.4, which is quite similar to Article 12 of Kyoto Protocol under the Kyoto Protocol. So, called as the Clean Development Mechanism. So, these are five different segments. So, four segments are at the nascent stage. One is the domestic voluntary market, compliance market, then Article 6.4 market, Article 6.2 market, and then international voluntary market. So as of now, only international voluntary market for the countries like us, for the developing nations, this is the only option we do have to sell the credits in the international carbon markets. While these four different markets are quite upcoming in next 2 to 5 years, they will do come into the existence, and whatever the $1 billion market cap which may come from the international carbon voluntary carbon markets, so this new four markets will do add more market cap, and so it will be the immense development opportunity would be there for the organization, for our organization, K. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nirav Dalal with MIB Securities India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. First, one clarification. You spoke about cooking stove. We have a 200 crore order book, and you said carbon credits of 14 million, more than 14 million over the next 5 years. What was that number?
Yes.
I just wanted a clarification. 14 million, right?
Yes, so 14 million credits would be generated from this 200 crore investment. So each cookstove used to generate around 4 carbon credits. So if you divide 14 million divided by 5, it comes out to be around 2.8 million credits per annum, and divided by 4 would be around 7 lakh cookstoves order we do have out of the numbers that had been covered during my speech. So these are the numbers.
Got that, right, sir. My second question is, broadly, if you can give us a thumb rule in terms of if a customer pays, so if you realize, say, 100 rupees on selling carbon, or you realize 100 rupees from the customer, how would it be split between, say, services and the carbon credit for you? Is there any ballpark number that one can work on in terms of what would be your split of services and carbon credit?
So yes, actually we do give comprehensive advisory services to our clients, wherein we do not charge anything upfront. We do work on the revenue sharing model. So whatever the investments which are required for our working capital, our financing costs, our the fee that we need to pay to third party inspection company, then travel expenses, the fee that we need to pay for getting the project registration, for getting the project verification, and then the other associated costs. So finally, once the credits will get issued, we do sell the same in the international carbon market, and based on the revenue sharing model that we used to sign with our project owners, we get the revenue. So we do not do different that means bifurcation of cost versus revenue. So yeah, so that is the only one you can say one line through which the revenue used to come, and then expenses we used to reduce. So we do not give such kind of bifurcations as of now. Yeah.
And we book on gross basis, not on net basis, right? So gross realized from selling of the carbon
yes.
credit would be what
yes.
we book, and then our expenses and sharing with the customer will be in the cost item.
Yes, yes, yes. yes.
Okay. My third question is regarding, now for us, we will always be playing in the voluntary carbon market, right? We will never
yeah.
be able to play with in the ETS market. Is that a right assumption?
Yes. Yes, because the credits which are originated from Indian territory or majority of the developing nations like China or Brazil or maybe Southeast Asian countries or Latin America countries or African countries, so credits, so we do have only 3-4 established compliance carbon markets or emission trading schemes. One is European Union ETS, another one is South Korean ETS. At some party we can consider in Singapore also we do have one carbon tax mechanism is here, not exactly the ETS, while in South Africa we do have a mix of ETS plus tax. So any credits which are originated from developing nations like us used to not get directly consumed under such kind of farm plants market, which was the scenario during 2005 to 2012. So as of now, yes, we do work under only voluntary carbon markets because the credits originated from the nations like in which we are operational used to not get consumed under the compliance carbon market. So that is the barrier, international carbon market barrier we face.
Correct. So but as you said, the voluntary carbon market is there for us to play with, and it is going to be a big market. So who would then be the players, if all the countries have their own ETSs, then who would be
yeah.
the people who would be wanting to, do the voluntary carbon market? If you could, just give a brief explanation in terms of that.
Yeah, so let us take example of a company which is situated in Germany. That is regulated through a compliance emission trading scheme called as EUETS. So every year, for example, that particular company is emitting 100 tons of CO2, and every year ETS used to cap their emissions that they are doing. So for during year zero, for example, they are doing an emission of 100 tons. During year one, they may get their target to reduce 5 ton CO2. So net emission they can do is 95 ton. Maybe next by next second year it may be around 90 ton. So these are the caps used to be given by the nations or the compliance regulations to reduce the emissions with X factor. It is not possible that under ETS, for example, EU ETS can give the emission reduction target of all 100 tons CO2 during year 0 or during year 1 only. It is impossible because if that is possible, that means they must have 100% renewable energy. Yeah?
Correct.
100% renewable energy or whatever the emissions that they are doing because of their business operations, it should be made zero, and that is impossible. And that is the only reason why our carbon credit industry came to the existence. One company which is not able to reduce the emissions, it can buy the credits from originally from the other company which is able to reduce the emissions through different tools and techniques. So. Yeah.
What you're trying to say is that there will always be, so the ETS market would not be able to fulfill all the demand, so there will always be a voluntary market that would.
Yes. So the nations, so the country, so the companies, or specifically the products or services that they are offering into their domestic or international markets, once they declare that they want to become carbon neutral, they want to achieve net zero emissions, so whatever the emissions that they are able to achieve, through compliant ETS, they would be able to do the same. Otherwise, if they are not able to meet, then they have to buy compliance credits only. Like in your EETS, they are called as European Union allowances. While, for example, since the baseline emission is around 100 ton and through ETS, they are allowed to reduce only 10 tons. So remaining 90 tons, they used to buy from the voluntary carbon market, and that is why the voluntary carbon market is going to survive till we would not be able to achieve net zero emission goals. So as you know, most of the developed nations, they do have declared that they want to become net zero by year 2050. Chinese government had declared by 2016. Indian government had declared for 2070. So once we'll do achieve net zero emission goal, then that means the compliance emission trading scheme will do cover 100% sectors, 100% emissions. Till the date, if they are not able to achieve the same, so voluntary market is going to be in existence with the compliance carbon market across the world.
Got it. Just one small
question. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Dalal.
Yeah, sure.
This is your Peter. Thank you so much. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Venkatesh with IntroHive. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Venkatesh from Chennai. So, and first of all, I would like to congratulate for the exceptional
record. Can you please repeat? We are not able to hear you.
Hi. And am I audible now?
Yes.
And first of all, congratulations for the exceptional results for the financial year 21-22. And my question on the company subsidiaries. So far we have invested around 100 crores in the subsidiaries, and there is no revenue stream is not yet generated from these companies. And if revenue streams and how would it be the actual revenue stream, and will it be a carbon credit generation or by selling the product cook stoves or the LED bulbs like that? What will be the what will be the revenue streams for the same?
So if I understood your question correctly, the main revenue stream for us is giving the comprehensive advisory services to our clients, whosoever had invested into the renewable energy or the projects which are eligible to get the registration under different carbon credit mechanisms like clean development mechanism or verified carbon standard, gold standard, or Global Carbon Council, IRAC, TIGER. So there are various plethora of international emission carbon offset standards are there. So we do give comprehensive advisory services, and most of the revenue, majority of the revenue, more than 95% of our revenue used to come from giving such kind of comprehensive advisory services to the project investors, not only in India, while in other partner nations we do have clients which avail our services. So while the recent development related to formation of two subsidiaries, one is Amrit Nature Solutions Private Limited, another one is GHG Reduction Technologies Private Limited. So the contribution from these two companies is, you can say, around 1 to 2% as compared to the parent company, the numbers that we are going to achieve through the parent company comprehensive advice services. So this is, I hope I would be able to answer the question that you asked.
Yes, yes, Manish, thank you. And the one of the final questions, like, and what are the opportunities that will get open from the COP27?
Yeah, so as you know, during COP26, the majority of the confusion had been cleared related to the existence of emission trading scheme, or you can say the carbon markets, which will do derive from Article 6 of the Paris Agreement, and the existence of the voluntary carbon markets. Now, during COP27, the major thing that may happen is related to the operationalization of Article 6.2 and 6.4. What are the modalities, which kind of projects can get registered under that particular Article 6 of the Paris Agreement. So all those modalities will do get cleared during COP27, and in fact, I think it may take another 1 year. During COP28, we'll be able to get all the modalities, forms, procedures, guidelines, everything related to the project, getting the project registration, issuance, and then supplying of the carbon credits. While the voluntary market is will do exist, coexist along with the four different markets that may come in next 1 to 3 years timeline. So so during COP27 will do bring good progress to the Article 6 carbon markets, while we do anticipate it may take another 1 year. By COP28 we'll be able to have complete guidelines on how this Article 6 carbon market will do bring more business opportunities to the international carbon markets.
Okay, Manish. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Yash with Param Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Manishji. I would like to know that what exactly is the current pricing trend of carbon credits?
So before, during quarter three of our financial year, the prices were at the peaks. So as you know, during May, actually the rise of the carbon markets had happened, and during up to December, it was there at the peak. After that, during January, you see, or exactly during February, because of the war, the prices, if you see in the voluntary carbon markets as well as into the EU ETS, European Union Emission Trading Scheme, earlier to that the prices had reached more than 100 euros per European Union allowances, and then because of the war it came up to 60 euro, and now again it is around 90 euros. So that was the impact that we had observed at the EU ETS, and similar is the observation we have found for the voluntary carbon market. So since EU ETS is EU ETS market is there at the uptrend, or you can say at the positive trend. Similarly, the voluntary market is going at the similar pace.
Okay, so basically, like the pricing trend is again recovering from the lows which were there in the Q4. Am I right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, like due to the Russia-Ukraine war, there was impact in demand as well as the pricing.
Pardon?
Due to Russia-Ukraine war, there was an impact not only on the demand but also on the pricing, right?
Definitely.
Okay, secondly, I would like to know, like, this 150 CR, what we are getting into the Amrit subsidiary, What exactly will be like, what exactly are we going to do? Like, obviously, there would be a niche-based solution only, like either. But what kind of revenue generation do we expect from such kind of projects going ahead? Just a qualitative, I would like to know.
Yeah, the contract is there in the finalization stage, and once all the numbers will get fixed, we will be able to give you the correct number. So we need to wait for some time to get the clear picture about that particular project. So many projects are there at the finalization stages during this financial year, and we do foresee that a good number of projects would be there. We would start those projects as soon as possible. And as you know, the technology-based projects can be implemented within 6 to 12 months time period, while the nature-based solution projects used to take too much time. Around 2 to 3 years would be the period under which only the investment will do go, and then the carbon credits will do come. But once the carbon credits will do get start yielding after 3 years, the technology-based credits, the technology-based projects used to get apply for the registration or verification for the period ranging from 7 years to 21 years, while for the nature-based solution projects, they are allowed to claim credits for minimum 30 years up to 90 years. So such kind of long-term sustainable supply is going to definitely help our sustainability.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kamlesh Kotak with Asian Market. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Manishji. Congratulations for good show. Sir, firstly, can you just help me again understand the number of units you sold? You said, I missed it. How many units we sold this year and last year?
So during 2020-21, it was around 55 million. During last financial year, it was around 87 million units.
And Q3 and Q4, how much?
During Q4, it was 17 million. And up to Q3, it was around 70.
Okay. And we already have inventory of 140 crore. So what number of units are lying there?
Around 8 million.
8 million. Okay. Another question, Manish, I wanted to understand that now that we have sizable amount invested in the receivable and inventory, so is it going to be the new norm now that if you want to grow the business, we will have to invest this kind of money in terms of securing the inventory first and then monetizing or realizing it? How you see the working capital cycle will play out?
So actually, the buying market used to work like, whenever the demand used to come with us, we must have some good portfolio readily available with us to supply. So during day zero, so it's a 3-day cycle. During day one, for example, a buyer used to come. During day two, they do say yes or no related to the whatever the volume or inventory we do have. During day three, they used to decide, sign contract and supply the credit. So for that particular purpose, we must have some good volume readily available with us so that we'll be able to supply the same. While we do have internal metrics, how much credit we should keep within our inventory and how much credits we should get hedged depending over the procurement price. So these are a few metrics with which we used to work on day-on basis.
Which means that if we are targeting 20% higher volume next year, we will need accordingly sizably have to invest in inventory as well as receivables, right?
Yeah, at some point of time, we may be able to say yes, but at some point of time, that may not be the situation. So the situation used to change based on different market dynamics around the year.
Sure. Okay. Secondly, can you separately let us know how much investment has been made in the two entities, GHG Carbon and Amrut, separately? How much investment till now we have made?
At Amrut, whatever the seed capital is required or authorized capital is required, we are going to invest the same because the company had got recently formed, and then the new contracts we would do start over the same contracting over the same. So so that is the position we do have with Amrut, and while for GG reduction technologies.
How much
for
we have
GHG
invested in?
Yeah, for GHG reduction, we have invested somewhere around 70 lakh rupees in equity, I said, to get the stake in that company. And rest, the company is itself generating a profit for make out.
So the 100 crore investment which is showing in the current asset, what is that, sir?
100 crore investment in current asset, that is a receivable which we have to pay on as a RCM, and out of that 100 crore, I can see in last 45 days we have already realized 60 crores from GST department. Means we have received the refund of around 60 crores in last 45 days. It's a normal business activities where we have to pay the RCM on import of services or any carbon credits being purchased or services which we have taken from outside, on that portion we have to pay the GST in India. And then we got the refund.
Then you can claim the refund.
Yes, and then the claim period is itself somewhere around 60 to 75 days in GST.
Okay. Secondly, sir, how can you help us understand your geographic revenue mix? Which geographies contributed this 1800 crore of revenue? If you can just get some sense on that.
Yeah, I can give you. We have now present in 15 countries across the world right now, and we have done a geographical expansion in last 12 to 18 months. Every country and every place are generating a revenue for us. As of now, the biggest contribution is from Turkey, then Bangladesh. We have received a business in last quarter itself. But we are expecting that a major contribution will be from Latin America and Africa down the line after 12 to 18 months. And we are expanding our team and we have a plan to have a presence in more than 30 countries down the line. In the next 12 to 18 months, we are hiring people and we are establishing our companies as well as offices across the globe. So that we will have...
Europe is not a major country contributing.
Europe is not a Europe. Sorry, Manish, you can answer.
Yeah, so actually, you see, the whole world is divided into two parts. One is the buying nations, and another one is the selling nations. So the sellers, the project owners to whom we give advisory services, they are located in developing nations, and the buyers are located in the developed nations. And European Union is the major contributor. Apart from that, Russia and Japan, they do have very less contribution to the international voluntary carbon markets as of now. So the first, you can say, is European Union. Second one is USA. Third one is Australia, New Zealand. And the smaller part also goes to some smaller nations, the smaller developing nations like in India. Now slowly the buying community is getting on rise. Like the airports are buying the credits. A few food delivery companies are also buying the credits. The companies which are majorly focused on the ESG or net zero emissions or carbon neutrality goals in the developing nations, they are also buying the credits. And few companies which are based in Europe, Middle East, they are also feeling responsible to buy the credits to make their business operations carbon neutral and net zero emission to meet their net zero emission targets. So, but majority of the whole world and the whole world developed nations, and specifically European Union, is the major buyer, while slowly the other developing nations, you can say, the other developed nations, you can say, comes under the second position, and that third position comes for the rest developing nations like India and China.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Finally, sir, any funding plans over the next 1 year? What kind of investments you will make and how you will fund it? Can you help us understand that, sir, across the three entities?
Whatever the funds we do have, we are trying to deploy to get the maximum return on investment, to develop more and more projects, to take more and more advising services to work under the revenue sharing model. The second one is to develop cook stove or community based projects, and third one is essentially solution projects. So we do have a plan to mobilize our internal fund, which are there with a significant numbers. So this is the plan, and if we get good opportunities in the future, then we will also look for good collaborations from the team.
Any numbers you can put into, sir, in terms of the investment amount?
So that is not being the main agenda as of now within the organization. We are trying to use internal financial resources at XP.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in interest of time, this was the last question. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you for participating on this call. You may now disconnect your lines.